This is, I think, week 7. So if you have the your Bible, why don't we turn to Psalm 103? And I will just read right up until the part to introduce what we're doing tonight. All right, I know that it begins pretty much, I kind of know the first 5 verses by heart. But it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6 is where we're going to talk. We're going to talk about verse 6 tonight. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord executes. Now, I had a really hard time finding the title of the benefit, because I knew, and I did pick it anyway, knowing that the benefit that we're going to talk about tonight, most Christians would frown against it because they don't understand what I mean. How is God's justice a benefit? Because most of us, when we hear about justice or God's justice, we are only most of the time, if not all the time, aware of God's wrath. In other words, God's justice, his wrath towards sin, condemnation. We are saved from that justice in the sense of we are no longer judged, we're born again, hallelujah, we don't have to deal with that anymore because Jesus did it for us. I am not going to talk about that tonight, primarily about the good side of God's justice in your life. As a benefit. So there's a side of God's justice that is a benefit. So tonight's title is The Benefit of God's Justice. And with all of these benefits, and I say this every single week, and I'm going to say it until you hear my voice in your dream and you understand what those words are. And we say it every week because it is essential, critical, and important to your success as a Christian or just living on this planet until Jesus comes back. The benefits of God are real. They belong to you and to me. The benefits have your name on it, signed, sealed, and given, but they are not always automatic. And we have to understand that God will always do his part, but there is this thing called we have to co-labor with God, cooperate with God. There is a God part, and there is a you part. And if you and I fail to do our part by ignorance, by wrong information, presumption, whatever, God is not obligated to do your part for you. He will try to teach you. He will try to tell you. He will send people to explain it to you. But we've been kind of brainwashed, and it's not even so much brainwashed. It's more like, really? Like, I have to do something? Isn't God all sovereign? And if it's going to happen, the angels will bring it to me, right? I mean, that's the dream. That's the wish. Blink and things happen. But I want you to know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It's usually the opposite, all right? We have to do our part. And so when you're not experiencing certain benefits in your life that are clearly defined in the Bible, clearly, I'm not talking about the kind, you know, where I want to be the billionaire on this hill somewhere. You know. I'm talking about the things, you know, healing, health, wellness, peace, joy, you know, things like that, that the Lord says, it's my will for you to have it. Clearly, I mean, you can find scripture after scripture. If the Old Testament saints could have it, and we've got a better covenant, okay? The Bible says that Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant established on better promises, okay? And if all the promises of God are yes and amen, and I'm supposed to have, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then it says in Psalm 103, forget none of his benefits, and these benefits are listed. If I'm not experiencing a benefit, now don't misunderstand me, there's opposition as well. I have to ask why. And it can't be, well, must not be God's will. I'm letting you know it's his will. And so we said, and I'm revealing for those of you who are listening online or new, there are three main reasons why, and maybe there might be 10, but I categorize this in three. Three main reasons why we do not get to experience certain benefits that are clearly ours. Number one, ignorance. You don't even know the benefit exists. So if I remember, if you're a child, you know, you could be the inheritor, but if you're childish, you don't even know what you have. All the money can be in the bank, all of the stuff God has purchased for you with your name on it. But if you don't know they're yours, you don't claim them. You don't do anything. You just, oh, well, I guess I'll get them in heaven. A lot of Christians will find out in heaven that they could have experienced many benefits on the earth. Trust me on that one. It's all over the Bible. Okay? Ignorance. You don't know. That's why there are opposing forces that don't want you to know. You need to know what God has said. Okay? Number two, you fail to claim what belongs to you. You are assuming that God's going to just kind of like let it fall on you, like, you know, like this light bulb above me. Oh, we're just going to, the light will come and it will just appear, okay? There are so many scriptures about that. We gave the one about the children of Israel. We talked about Luke 15. We talked about the older son. We talked about the father dividing the inheritance, and yet the older son still didn't claim what belongs to him. I can give you more scriptures. I'm giving you these same scriptures because I want you to, they're very common, and you can go read about it. The children of Israel failed to go in and possess the land. God says, I have given it to you. There are a lot of things God gives we don't claim. That means he says here, and his hand's out, with, and you still have to come, and you have to take it. When I say claim, you have to say, I am the rightful owner, it's mine. Or, this is mine. There, and the Bible says, even in the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's a portion in this life that's yours. I may not, you know, I can't claim his portion, but I can claim mine. There's no need for jealousy in the body of Christ. There's more than enough. There is more than enough. More than enough, okay? The third is presumption and foolishness. So you know the benefit. You say that's mine, but you can't hold on to it because you are wasting it or you are unable to steward it. So it leaves you or you do things. You assume that it's always just going to be permanently yours. Not so, okay? So you can get healed and then open doors to sickness and disease. This is not rocket science. Yeah, God can heal you, and then literally a month later, you start doing things to attract sickness and disease back into your life. Doesn't mean that God, you might have received something and you can lose it. You're like, wait a minute. Yeah. Let's give you a scripture, because you know I got to back up with scripture. Peter is in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. A miracle happens because Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, it's kind of dark, you look like a ghost, bid me to come, gives him the authority and the power to do it. He says, come. Peter gets out of the boat, he is walking, and then what happens? He starts looking, he says, this is not supposed to be happening, how come there's wind, there's storm? He starts to sink. What he was given the ability to do, he stopped doing. Because his eyes got off Jesus and he started looking at things that you have from God, you can begin to lose. Even benefits. Don't think it's just like, well, it's God. Now, I'm not talking about God's love, but even God's love. You have to enjoy God's love. It's yours, but you have to enjoy it. Make time for it, room for it. All right. I'm always going to let you know that. But today we're going to talk about the benefit of God's justice. So, the first thing we said is most of the time when justice is taught at church, it's only referring to God judging sin. The justice of his wrath on those who do not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And yes, but we're going to talk about the good side of God's justice. The first thing is, let's define what justice is. The Bible says all throughout Old and New Testament that God is just. That means he is a judge. I know we don't like to talk about judgment, but he is always a judge. It took me a long time to actually realize, okay, because we were talking, like, don't talk about him. He's my father. He loves me. We don't want to see that side of him. I don't want to see him sitting on the throne judging. He's always a judge. He never stops being a judge. He just can be a judge and a father at the same time, and your friend, and the one who loves you, all at the same time. Just like, and people say, well, wait a minute here. Okay, so let me use myself as an example, because some people, it helps to, like, at this exact moment, as you're looking at me, I am a wife. At this exact moment, I am someone's sister. At this exact moment, I'm an instructor, a teacher. At this exact moment, I am someone's, what else did I miss? A friend. Sorry? Mother, sorry about that. See, you even know what I was? Okay, but I'm not your mother. I am all of this in this exact moment. When God is your father and you're sitting having a conversation with him with love, he's a judge at that moment as well. He never stops being a judge, which means there's legality in the kingdom. And when you know the rules and you know the benefits of how to exercise your authority in the courtroom of heaven, you get more done. So your prayer life, for those of you who want to know about prayer, prayer is something that's taught. You've got to learn about different kinds of prayer. The Bible says there are different kinds of prayer. So one side of your prayer life should be praise and worship and thanksgiving and adoration. And it should, most of your prayer life should be love, joy, spending time with the Lord, all that good stuff. The other side is business. There are things that you will not get unless you claim what belongs to you in the courtrooms of heaven, where you plead the blood of Jesus, where you say it is written to the enemy who comes and makes accusations against you. If you don't know how to do that, because the Bible uses words as God, Jesus is our advocate, or the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Those words are legal terms, okay? The Bible says that he's a just. So let's take a look at, actually, I'm not going to have us look at it. If you can write, you can write the scriptures down. So what does it mean to judge? He judges between, God always judges between right and wrong and administrates justice according to his standard. God is intrinsically and infinitely by nature righteous. See, you and I can choose to do right. He is always right. It's from the inside out. So what the way God behaves, the way he thinks, the way he speaks comes from who he is in his nature. You and I, we've got parts of us that we have to make ourselves do what is right, okay? He's intrinsically right all the time. God never, he's perfectly right. He thinks right, acts right, does right all the time. So he's perfectly right. 2 Timothy 2:13 says he cannot deny himself. And he's always going to do the right thing. Psalm 89:14, again, I'm kind of setting the stage here because of time. You can write these things down. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Okay? The Bible also talks about the different kinds of judgments. And it's important that you and I know these things, okay? The Bible talks about a day of judgment. Everyone is going to be judged, including you, including me. No one escapes the judgment of God. And there are different kinds of judgment. I want you to remember this also. I say this as often as I can whenever I teach about the new birth or what Jesus did for us. And I really want you to always remember this, because I want you to remember there is legality in the kingdom. And you and I need to know the joy of playing and enjoying God, and we've got to know how to do business legally. We have to, because we've got enemies, we've got opposition, we've got stuff we need to know. We have to know what covenant is. We have to know what our rights are, because there are people who will say that's not yours. And you have to say, well, that's a lie, because it is written. If you don't know what is written, you won't know how to say it is written. So this is what I want you to always remember. And I remember when the Lord gave me this revelation, it really helped a lot. And it lines up with some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Remember I said God is always a judge. Okay? He's a good judge, though. Do you know what I'm saying? He's always a righteous judge. So when I say judge, don't think, oh, my God, if you had a bad experience in the courtrooms on earth, don't put God there. God knows ahead of time who did what. Like, he sees everything. Like, I always tell people, you lied to God? Like, you lied to God. How did you do that, right? He knows everything. He sees everything. When God saved us, when God saw our sin, when God saw how bad we were and how we fell and Adam and Eve, the whole thing, he loved us. He wanted to restore us, but he couldn't do it illegally. God himself had to meet his own demands for justice. You and I are not born again randomly. Your forgiveness wasn't like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you know, we'll just start. It's okay. There's a price. It had to be paid. Even God himself could not let himself go. That's how just he is. So when I say legally, I mean it. He had to meet his own demands for justice, and he knew we couldn't do it, so he had to do it himself perfectly. He couldn't say, well, I'm God, you know, I can do. He had to do it exactly the way his standards demanded it to be done. It had to be a human. It had to be a perfect human. It had to be blood. I mean, there were all kinds of stuff that his justice demanded. Jesus had to meet every single requirement to the letter. So I want you to know, even when you talk about, well, God's good, it cost God to redeem you, to set you free, to be good to you, to welcome you, to forgive you. I mean, he forgave you, but he had to meet him. So I want you to understand, when God does things, he does them justly. So when you ask God for something, one of the reasons you can get what you get is because he's just. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. So how can that be a benefit? Well, let me tell you how good it is. The benefit of God's justice. So God found his solution, but he couldn't violate his own justice. So let's look at a couple of scriptures on God's justice. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at a scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to have to rock and roll tonight. I got a lot of things to say. New King James Version, you may have a different translation, but Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Meaning that God is keeping record of everything, okay? Perfect accountant. There isn't anything that you have done for God. You may say, God, nobody sees me. Nobody appreciates me. I work hard. I serve you. God sees everything. And there will always be a reward for those who diligently seek him, serve him, love him. What you do in secret is only to you and maybe others who don't see it, not to God. So God is saying, I see it, and there will be justice when you do good things. So God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward his name. So whatever you think you're like, okay, no, pastor doesn't see me, my mother doesn't see me, my spouse doesn't see me, nobody in the community sees me, all the people in authority don't see me, God sees you. And trust me, there will be a day of reward. There will be. And don't think, you know, that all these other people are getting away with everything and, you know, trust me, he is just, okay? You don't have to turn to these passages, but there's so many crowns that God wants to give people. In James 1:12, it talks about the crown of life that he will give to those who endure temptation and are approved. Those who love God get a crown of life. Paul talks in 2 Timothy 4:8 about the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give. It says the righteous judge will give to him because he finished his race, and all those who await and are wanting his coming and love him. So there's all kinds of crowns. But Hebrews 11:6. So turn to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Everybody, whatever translation you have, let's look at that one. That's a very important scripture for us. Again, we're setting the foundation to understand the justice of God. It says, and I know this by heart, 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God will reward you when you seek him diligently. You cannot seek God and not get reward. He is a rewarder. So part of his justice is to do good to those who he believes deserve good, deserves reward. A reward, I know we don't, you know, we think about, you know, and this is where I think as a church we need to remember the balanced teaching of God's word. So there are things you get by grace you cannot earn, but there are things you do earn. Make no mistake about it. Can't get a reward unless you earn it. I mean, you know, all right, I'm going to make a little statement here, and I know some moms and dads may not like it. But I, you know, and I'm saying this in advance, so don't send me an email, don't send me a letter, doesn't matter, I won't read it. I only read good things. you know, my husband and I have this conversation, and I do believe there's a balance. So what I'm about to say, if you're the kind of mom and dad, it doesn't matter, you know, competition is harmful, we disagree. You know, I'm talking about sports, whatever. You know, when they're all little, yes, they all should get little crowns and little gold medals, whatever it is. But there comes a point where there is competition and you can't give equal reward to everybody. Okay? You can't move everybody past the school. Oh, God, let's not talk about the school system. But let's not move people who, or anybody, I'm talking about school, college, or who have not passed certain tests. Because what happens is that you're giving the wrong message. You're giving the wrong message. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. Some things have to be earned. And God will reward certain things that you do. And he will not treat everybody equally. I know, oh God, wait a second, what is she saying? When it comes to his love, absolutely, he loves us equally. So remember the balance, okay? Make sure we hear that. Don't just take the little thing out. When it comes to certain things, absolutely, we get equal distribution of his love. There's no difference. But God does make a distinction regarding other things. We must understand that because his justice demands it. So let's go back to Jesus. Jesus died for everybody. God loved everybody. He made it so that justly everyone could receive this wonderful gift of eternal life in heaven with him. And yet, he makes a distinction. He says, my justice demands that you choose. I'm not going to force it on you. How many times have we said that? That's a benefit, right? If you fail to claim the benefit of Jesus as Lord and Savior, you forfeit. And God's not going to force it down your throat. He said, even though it's paid for, there will be many, many, many that will say, well, how come you didn't choose Jesus? So there is, even though the benefit exists, there are certain things that we are to do. So he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's talk about something that we don't often talk about in the church, or maybe you're not aware. The Bible talks about two judgments in the New Testament for the believer. For the believer. We're going to talk about the two judgments of God for the believer. The first one is called the Great White throne judgment. I didn't come up with that word. It's in the book of Revelation. So if you're taking notes, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. If you're looking for scriptures, Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Another scripture you could write that refers to that type of judgment is Matthew 25, 31 to 33. So for the believer, this is when God will make a judgment about who accepted Jesus and who didn't. The sheep and the goats. Those who accepted Jesus will be considered sheep and will go on the right. And those who did not will go on the left. That's it, period. There will be no other discussion. There won't be anything, well, you know, I was good, I gave money, I built hospitals, I traveled around the world, I was good to my mother. You know, none of that will, you can't, there's only one requirement to go on the right, Jesus. And the Bible calls that the Great White Throne Judgment. He will divide the sheep and the goat. And that's it. Do you have the ticket? You either have it or you don't. Period. End of the conversation. And you only get a lifetime to choose. You can't choose after death. So the Bible actually says, for those of you who really want, you know, scriptures to back things up, this is a very difficult, painful, but true scriptures. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for man to die once, and afterward the judgment. We do not get to come back. Now, for those of you, we don't get to come back and redo it. This is the only time you get this lifetime. You don't get reborn again another time, some other way, and get to do it better. This is it. It is appointed for man to die once, and afterward the judgment. So there is the first judgment will be the Great White Throne Judgment. But I want you to know, as believers, there's another one. Now, I'm still trying to get to the benefit of the justice of God on the earth, but I need to explain because I want you to get a revelation and the truth about that God is just. The second one is taught quite a bit also in the Bible. That one is called, does anybody know? It's called the judgment seat of Christ. So let's actually look at a couple of scriptures because this is the one I want to kind of talk about. So this is where God is going to reward your works on earth, what you did. What nobody saw, everything will be accounted for, including your words. Okay, so let's actually, okay, oh my gosh, she's talking about these kinds of things. I only thought I was just one judgment. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start with that one real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean, for me, that's a good thing, because if I do good things, I know that there'll be good reward. And you should know that. God says that that's part of your faith, is knowing that about him, that you'll be rewarded when you do good things. Take a look, again, for those of you who want to take the time, we're not going to read all the scripture, but starting with verse 8 all the way to 15. And we're just going to jump around here in verse 8. Paul was talking about himself and Apollos, his ministers, and people were making the comparison and so forth. But in verse 8, it says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay? Jump down to verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. There's a lot that's said there, but I want you now to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Okay. Why don't we start with verse 9? I think verse 9 is good. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to God. Verse 10. For we must all, notice the word all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So everybody, so in other words, after you're on the right side and you made it in heaven and saved and you received Jesus, there will be another judgment to say, okay, what did you do on earth? And God's going to be very fair about that. He's not going to say, well, compare you to the person who had more than you. Everybody, he's just. If you had one penny and you shined it up, you know, and you said, Lord, thank you for that penny, you'll get your reward. Now, if you had 50,000 pennies and you wasted it and didn't do anything with it, you know, that person with the shiny one penny will get blessed more than you. I mean, it's not about perfection. It's just you need to know that God is just. That even when we go and die and go to, you know, into heaven, he is still going to, there will still be judgment. We don't like to think about that part. We're like, well, we're all equal. Everybody gets the same thing. No. Some people, it says, will actually lose reward. Is that in the Bible? Like somebody said, I didn't write it, but it is right here. Let's look at another one. Three witnesses. Let's look at the book of Romans. Romans 14. Romans 14. Okay. Now, again, if you are doing what is right, this should be exciting to you. See, it all depends now. I notice there's like quiet in here because you thought you were going to get the equal measure. Everybody gets the same, you know. And again, there's a lot of scriptures on these. I'm trying to just highlight the time we have, okay? Verse 10, why do you judge your brother and why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay? So, and here he's talking about brother and brother. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this and not put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. So, in other words, God is a perfect accountant. He is keeping tab. Now, at the same time, let's actually bring a little softness because it's kind of quiet in here and you're thinking, making a list of what did I do yesterday? What did I say today? We're not going to be sin conscious or that's not what we're talking about. Really, anything motivated by love is really the answer. You can do something that someone might think is wrong, but if you did it by love, it measures differently in God's eyes. Think about that for a moment. And there are things that you might do that are right, but you did it without love, and God says it was wrong. So let's check on that. Let's make sure. I got to throw that in there. I'm going to give you a scripture just to make sure you get this. I try to back up everything I teach and say, the gifts of the Spirit. If you speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love while you're doing it, God says you have become a clanging cymbal. You are making uncomfortable noise in my ears, God says. How can that be? There's no love with it. You can have faith to move mountains. Have not love? Wasting your time. Now, you might move the mountain and people might say, praise the Lord. But you will lose reward. The motive, the heart behind it. God hates pride. God hates all kinds of stuff that nobody can see. It's the stuff that we can't see that matters to God. All right, that also was a little bit heavy, so let me keep it going here. Where were we here? What are we talking about here? The judgment seat of Christ. So remember that God is a reward. He wants you to know, though, that he's a reward. So we're talking about the good side of this, all right? Yes, I think I was talking about the fact that, you know, the motives and so forth. But let's look at another scripture, Matthew 10. I just want to get to, let me move on. Matthew 10, Matthew 10. So we can do things on the earth, and I'm going to talk about how we claim the benefits of God's justice on earth, and we need to know how to claim the benefits of God's justice on earth as a benefit. Matthew 10 is a passage I felt like we needed to read to help bring understanding. This is what Jesus says. It says, he who receives you receives me. Verse 40, I'm sorry. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. God is talking even about the way we look and treat and act with each other. He is going to reward us. So if somebody is a prophet or prophetess and they come and God sends that prophet or prophetess to you into your life to speak the word of the Lord and you reject the gift, now I'm not talking about the perfection of the person. I'm talking about the gift of the prophet, the manifestation of that gift operating for you. And you reject it, you lose reward. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what country they're from. I don't care what. If God is sending someone to be a spokesperson in your life, and you say, well, who are you? Like, I don't know you. But you know they're a gift. Jesus went into his own hometown, and they didn't accept him as a prophet. And he couldn't do anything with there. They lost reward. He says he couldn't do many miracles with them. Think about it. We could be denying ourselves access to miracles and word of God because we're like, well, we're judging the person. You know, this one here, she's going to write me 2 letters, 10 emails. I feel like God's convicting her. I can see it all over her. Listen, the person to your right, to your left, behind, and in front of you has gifts that you need. And at different times in your life, God is going to send you someone that doesn't look like, oh, just, You're going to feel the package is wrong. And yet, you have to discern whether they are from God or not. And if you do, and you open up the package, you're going to be very surprised. I have been taught that. You learn that the hard way. You're like, really, Lord? Yeah. And you honor them, and like, whoa, and the results are amazing. And he says, listen, verse 42, even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly you shall by no means lose your reward. So God is keeping track of your reward. I like that, because I try to serve him and love him and please him. Listen, I don't do it perfectly. None of us do, okay? But there is a joy in knowing, you know, Lord, when I do something right, you know it. So when I do something that you don't see, I know someone sees it. So, because there are a lot of us who want to be seen for everything we do. Like if we're not seen, if you're not on the platform, if you know, you don't do it. I want you to know that it's not what's seen that matters, it's the heart. So it's about understanding that more than anything else. God will reward you for your heart's diligence and love towards him more than anything else. That's why God chose David. He says, the prophet went, he says, oh, surely, you know, saw the Jesse's oldest son. Surely this is the one, God says, you see like man does. And he got all through all 7, and finally he says, where? So finally they took David, who was with the sheep, brought him in. Anoint him. He's the one. He's the man after my heart. So it's all about not show and what looks are and all that. It's a hard thing all the time with God. Okay? So now let's talk about how we benefit. So sorry, we have like half an hour. Let's now talk. I could read a lot more scriptures, okay? Now let's talk about, so we know that God is always a judge. Everybody clear on that? Anybody have questions about that? Okay? Is he always a judge while he's loving you and being a father? Yeah, he never stops. He's always going to do what's right, even when you come to him and you want him to do what's wrong. Can you please do this? You love me. Do it. Sorry. He's not motivated and going to be obligated to do anything that's not right. He's always doing what's right. But how do you claim it as a benefit? Well, The first way, one of the first ways we want to claim is we want to, and I'll give you some scriptures, there's a variety, is in your prayer time. When you're interceding for others, how do we spell intercede? Intercession. To intercede means to pray or to plead on someone else's behalf. It means that someone is in trouble or someone is making wrong decisions or something, and you know things are not going to go well, okay? But you love them, and so you step up and you pray and you talk to God in such a way about them that causes God to help them and delay his judgment, cause good things to happen. Intercession. Now, you cannot intercede if you don't know, again, what Jesus did for you. So the power of what Jesus did is, it's important that we understand the power of the cross, the blood, and the sacrifice of Jesus. When God looks at Jesus, he doesn't just see, you know, this is my son. He sees that the price for your penalty was paid. This is important because it's like he is the receipt, okay, that you have to claim for certain benefits. I don't know how else to say it. One of the reasons that Jesus said, you know, at the communion, he says, this is my body, this is my blood. I mean, you know, communion represents the body and blood of Jesus. As often as you do this, you're proclaiming his death. God doesn't want you to forget what Jesus did for you. Because it says in the Bible that the blood of Jesus is still speaking today. The Bible says that when blood was shed, and I realize for those of you who don't know the Bible, I'm saying things that maybe go over in your head, but the Bible students will understand, and these workshops are for every level. When Cain killed Abel, in the book of Genesis, God looked at Cain and he says, your brother's blood is crying out to me for revenge because you killed him. The blood was speaking from the ground to God. That's why God talks about when a land sheds a lot of blood, innocent blood, the blood is speaking. It does stuff to the land. All right, let me not go into that. That's going to take me into another subject. Even the land, let's not get into it. Okay. The blood of Jesus is perfect, pure. When Jesus died, he had to bring his lamb and his blood to the mercy seat. And that's why in the Old Testament, you have to remember, the book of Leviticus, if you're confused about the book of Leviticus, I'm going to solve a problem for you right now. It's all about blood sacrifices, rams, sheep, bulls. Listen, this is it. All of it represented was a precursor to Jesus. It looked forward to Jesus. The lamb, it was Jesus. The bull, it was Jesus. This sacrifice, Jesus is his blood is the all-purpose cleanser. All-purpose. You don't need rams. You don't need two rams, one bull, one heifer, one. Jesus. Jesus, that's it. Okay. So remember, God had to meet the demands of justice. So think about this. Now, I was thinking about trying to think of something today, and for those of you, and I again, I'm not a big movie person, so I don't endorse movies, but I did watch this movie. And again, it's got some bad things in it, so for those of you, close your ears if you like. But I believe it was called Double Jeopardy with Judd, I can't think of her name, Ashley Judd. Does anybody see it? So she was framed. She was convicted of a crime that she didn't commit, so she was... They thought she killed her husband. Was that the thing? She killed her husband? So she went to jail and did all kinds of time. And then finally, she came out. Then she found out that her husband, who was very bad, was alive, and then she killed him. So she was actually already penalized. I'm sorry. I know I'm telling the movie. She was already convicted for the crime. She couldn't be put in jail again. Okay, in other words, you only get one. So Jesus died for us. He paid the price for us so we won't have to. This is one of the ways that you claim the benefit of God's justice. Jesus paid the price for you. So you don't have to pay the price. Now, that's a legal thing. So that means when a circumstance comes to you that you know clearly violates the will of God, that Jesus paid the price for you so you wouldn't have it, when it comes to you and says you're supposed to experience this, what do you say? No. Because legally, I have a right to say no. So the lies of the enemy, circumstances. Now listen, we live in a world of what I call the terrible T's. I did a whole teaching years ago called the terrible T's. Now I know there's the terrible twos, but I don't like that. If you have a 2-year-old, I think they're wonderful. They're not terrible. But there are, in this life, Jesus says, you will have tribulation. So the terrible T's are trials, tests, temptation, trouble, temptation. I mean, as a Christian, you will have trials and tests and tribulation and stuff and trouble. But you don't have to live with them permanently. I guess that's what I'm saying. So when a situation comes and says, well, you know what? You haven't been, you know, whatever, perfect, so you're going to have to live with less than enough for the rest of your life, and hopefully when you make it to heaven, Jesus will let you in. If you don't know legally what the justice of God and Jesus is, you're going to say, I guess so, I'm guilty. So in order to enjoy the benefit of God's justice, you have to know what Jesus did so that you can stand against and resist the enemies in your life. You have to claim the legal justice of God on Jesus. You actually have to be, I know this sounds kind of be like, you have to be very thankful what Jesus did for you. We are no longer, I mean, our salvation cost Jesus as well. We have to be very thankful. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like, every day, thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, I mean, because sometimes we take it for granted. Well, God loved me, Jesus died for me, and all is well, I could do whatever I want. Not so. But we do need to claim. I am constantly pleading the blood. I don't know about you, maybe you don't have as much trouble. I mean, troubles try to come in all the time. And there are times when, and I'll let you know, there are times, make no mistake about it, it's a fight of faith. I mean, there are times you are with weeping, tearful, and you can't tell anybody what you're experiencing because they'll say, well, just give up and die. You'll be like Job's wife, you know. Like, I mean, you're going through such a test, a trial, a difficulty. And I'm telling you, as a minister, as a pastor, I weep and cry sometimes. I know the Bible says no. And you have to stand your ground in the midst of opposing circumstances and lies from the enemy. And sometimes I can't tell people. You know why? Because they're going to be pulling me in unbelief. This is my opinion. You don't have to agree. But, you know, I'd rather have 2 or 3 people pray for me who believe than 100 people praying and 90% of them are in unbelief. So there's a lot of things you don't say. And you might be weeping and crying, but you're standing and says, nope, Jesus did this for me. I refuse to accept this. I mean, you should see me sometimes. I have to do this in quiet. I got to do it when my husband leaves the house. I got to do it, you know, because you're weeping, you're crying, and then everybody walks in and says, how's everything? Everything's well. All is well. How are you? All is well. Amen. And then they leave. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I claim this. And no, you will not. And no, Satan. And no, in this circumstance, the mountain, you're going to have to move. And I'm telling you, there are times, I'm telling you, it takes tenacity, this determined, you are never going to take that away from me, because legally it's mine. And we just, I'll be honest with you, we settle so fast. We're lazy in our fight. And so a lot of times, you know, things happen, and part of it is just learning. But you need to claim the benefit of God's justice on Jesus, what he did. So we were talking about intercession, right? So let's look at a scripture. Let's turn to Genesis. So I want to talk to you about all the ways to claim the benefit of God's justice. So God's justice here is that he did something for you so you can legally have stuff, okay? God's mercy comes because of his justice. He can be merciful because it's paid for. That's next week. All right, okay. Turn to Genesis. I know that went over your head, but that's okay. Genesis 18. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. The father of faith is going to intercede for a very wicked city. And he's going to claim the benefit of God's justice if he can. Well, we're going to read the story. You probably know the story already. Genesis 18. Okay, that's better. Everybody there? Let's look at verse 20. And again, we could probably read the whole passage. But this is what God is saying. God is saying this. He says, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I'm sorry, verse 17. Let me back up. Verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children, his household after him. In other words, you know, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So he's saying, I have some things that I want to do and planning to do. Should I share these things with Abraham? And so verse 20, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down. He's telling Abraham, I'm going to go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. There were three angels, but that's okay. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. So the Lord is with Abraham, and they're having this dialogue. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? This is Abraham. I love verse 25. We need to use verse 25 a whole lot. I do all the time. To God. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And you know what the Lord said? If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, that is pretty powerful, because it was a gravely wicked, it had sinned to a level that God was just very displeased, okay? Abraham is saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. He's actually saying that. Far be it from you to do such a thing. You're a judge. You're a righteous judge. And God says, you know, you're right. And so much so that, you know the story. And for those of you who don't know, but let's just go do it. It's so good. He said, if I find 50, I'll spare the entire city for the 50 righteous. Just so that the righteous are not destroyed with the wicked. Okay. Then Abraham, look at verse 27, answered and said, indeed now, I am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Well, suppose there are five less than the 50. Would you destroy all the city for lack of five? He said, if I find there are 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. And you know what God says? I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak, suppose, how about 30? If 30 be found there. He says, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Boy, I love Abraham. And he said, indeed now, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Well, suppose 20 should be found in the entire city. And you know what God says? I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Now, that would have been good enough. Like, you know, you think, okay, for the city. And guess what? Abraham is not done. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now, unfortunately, Abraham probably thought there were 10. Guess what? God couldn't find 10. So Abraham should have gone, what if there's one? Okay? Now, if God did that, Old Testament with 10, how many are in this room? Are there more than 10 righteous people? I don't know about you, but my hand's up. Where are the righteous people in this room? I don't know about you, but I go to God and I says, Lord, for the sake of the 10. I'm always praying that way. For the sake of the 10, will you judge or will you cause this to happen? And I go to that scripture. That's based on God's justice. Abraham is claiming, unfortunately, he didn't go far enough. But he was claiming a benefit of justice. It's not right to judge the righteous with the wicked. Let me just tell you, you may be in a company, and I know you've probably heard that, but I like the thought of it. The company is doing well because you're in it. Not because they're doing everything right. They're afloat because you work there. God's keeping the company open because you're there. And when you leave, they're in trouble. Is that pride? No. I'm letting you know the Bible says for the sake of the righteous, there's a lot of things God will not do. So there are times I go to God and say, now, Father, Jesus died for me, paid the price for me and my children and whatever. And based on the blood, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm being very sincere. You know, I do good things. I give. I serve, right? I'm a leader in the church, whatever. I never use any of that. Never. I only use one thing, Jesus. I mean, I can go, well, as you know, I gave tithes, I gave offerings. I was nice to so-and-so. I stayed up late and prayed for so-and-so. I teach the Bible. I'm going to be, again, this is just me. I don't use any of that when I make a request to God, not one. It comes to mind, I'm tempted because there's a side of me, my soul, that wants to say I was a good girl and, you know, I patted my brother and I showed up, you know, and my sister, I made her smile and I wore pretty clothes and I said she was, those thoughts come to mind, but I have learned it isn't worth it to go there. There is one thing that's on my behalf that is greater than all the stuff put together, and that is the just demands of God on Jesus when he judged him from sin with my name on it. So I can, that's why healing, yes, there are natural things you do, but you know, sickness and disease tries to what are you thinking about? You talk to it. Well, excuse me? Do you know who I am? Like, and it's not me. Did you talk to the blood yet? Or, you know, excuse me, let me put the, it is written. Let me show you that you have no legal. If you don't have a legal right, you don't have a legal right. Then it's like, well, who are you fighting? Are you getting it? I want you to get this. You got it. You have to know the legal rights that you get to have as an owner. And the justice of God enables you to intercede for wicked people. Or for, I should say, for the righteous who may, because Lot was, you know, the whole story was Lot. And you know what? God was gracious. God could not find 10. But how many of you know what happened with Lot? Does anybody know what happened with Lot, his nephew, who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Just look at that for a moment. Let's just, even though I don't have that in my notes, turn to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. So I want you to know the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah and they couldn't find 10 righteous. So what was the judgment of God then? He had to what? Destroy the city because he couldn't find 10. So think about it. God was willing to save Sodom and Gomorrah for the 10. That's why I believe, by the way, I know this is probably going to go online, but I believe in the rapture. There's no way God's going to destroy all of us. He's going to have to take us off. And because there's so many of us, we're going to have to go up in a cloud. There just is. He has to do, he cannot destroy the righteous and the wicked. It's his nature as a judge forbids him to do that. That's why a lot of times when I pray for our city or I pray for our government, I'm like, Lord, we're all messing up, but for the sake of the righteous, easy prayer, easy. I don't have to go into, well, you know, Lord, guess what? So-and-so didn't do it right, so-and-so did. But for the sake of the righteous, you can't destroy us. And I know there's a whole bunch of us thinking, and I'm not saying there isn't on righteousness, we should stand, there should be laws. I'm all for that. So I'm not talking about going to get political here. But I am saying that, you know, if we are always saying, you know what, Lord, we all need to be punished. Well, you're punishing yourself too. You're claiming punishment. Stop claiming punishment for punishment you don't deserve, especially if Jesus paid for you. You need to say, no. I think at all these workshops, I say no a lot. Have you noticed that, for those who have been coming? The power of learning. Have I said no a lot, Sheila? Yeah. Learning to say no, like with, I'm talking about legally. No. Well, you know, you've been bad and you deserve some, you know, no. No. All right? So we have to learn to resist, and it may be with tears and tenacity, but we do have to learn to do that. So let's find out. So God goes, and he finds that there's Lot and his family, but God is so good. And so let me just show you what happened. We don't have time to go there. Let's look at chapter 19, verse 12. So Sodom, Gomorrah, they're going to have to destroy it. So then the men, and the men are angels that look like men, by the way, for those of you who don't know the story. So by the time we are looking at verse 12, chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 12, it says, then the men, so these are angels that took on human form. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Because they have to destroy it, okay? And he said, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. So he's telling Lot, we got to take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his two daughters, and Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And then Lot said, please, no, my lords, indeed now your servant. You know, he basically says, I don't know if I can make it to the mountain. Can I go here to this little city? So just jump down to verse 21. The angel said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there. For listen to verse 22. For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. There are things God will not do because he's favoring you justly as a judge. So one of the things, another thing is you have to remember the justice of God is, remember, God wants to do what's right. And I feel led to just insert this right now in the time we have. A lot of times we say, well, you know, we need to forgive others. And you've heard me say this if you listen to me long enough. When people hurt you, okay, and the power of forgiveness, God says, release them to me. Forgive and release them to me. In other words, releasing them to me as the judge. That's a benefit. Because God will make sure that, you see, you don't know what to do. You see, you want to kill them, right? You want to hurt them. You need to claim the benefits of God's justice. Forgiveness is about claiming a benefit of God's justice. Let me explain how it works, because we don't have a lot of time. I don't care what anybody did to you. And then if they're glad they did it to you, and you're hurt, you're wounded, and you're carrying all this, and you won't forgive them, you know, you're just hurting yourself. Just bring justice. This is what you do. You say, okay, God, I'm bringing them to you as the judge. God says, vengeance is mine. Matter of fact, go ahead and be nice to them. What? Yeah. Because God knows what he needs to do. So you bring them to God, the judge, and release them there. Let God determine the verdict. But the power of forgiveness is not done. Then you say, now, Lord, I need recompense. See, we feel like we're letting them go and now we're in trouble. No. God will redeem the time for you. So you claim recompense. They're not going to be able to. Most of the time, some of them are dead, married, gone, not even thinking about you. But God is righteous. He says, I will give you double for your trouble. I will restore. Joel 2 is one of my favorite. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. God can restore time, make up for loss in a way that you're like happier after it happened. It's because we're not claiming his justice. So when you think about justice, I don't want you to just think about sin. Yes, all that is there. Notice that we talk. But the benefit of like, wait a minute. God calls himself the avenger, your avenger. Somebody messes with you, God says, give them to me. Don't try to do it on your own. Give the judge, release them. So you go to God and say, okay, I'm going to give up my right because I really want to kill them and hurt them and do stuff to them and hate them for the rest of my life. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to, yes, I'm still wounded. You claim that you're wounded. You claim, you go to the judge, you say, God, they messed up. They did this. They stole my money. They did this. They abused me. They didn't. That what? Make the list up. Give it to God. And then release the person for judgment to God. Do not try to be the judge. Release them to the true judge who knows exactly what needs to do. And if God is merciful, don't be like, well, that wasn't what I would have done. That is not your job. Okay? Because we'll talk about mercy, because if you don't extend mercy, you won't get mercy. We all need mercy. But release them to the righteous judge. He'll always do what's right. So forgiveness is about releasing people to God. So now they're off my... But then we're not done. This is the best part. This is the best part. Then you say, now, Father, you're the redeemer. They don't look like they're going to give me the money back. They've broken my heart. I'm still weeping. I'm still, you know, whatever, because of what they did and all these people. Recompense what was taken from me. And you know what? God will do it for you. But he will not if you're holding on to the person. So that is a benefit of God's justice. It's a beautiful thing. Anybody see God's justice as a beautiful thing? There's so many other scriptures. God, let me just kind of quote them because of time. It says God made a, in order for God to bless us, he entered into a legal covenant with us. See, God was so wanting to do things legally that he didn't just say, he says, I got to make a covenant with them. And I know they're going to break my covenant, so I'm going to make a covenant with them. It's all on me. I mean, just God is amazing. Like, he already knew you were going to mess up with the covenant. So even in making a legal covenant, God says, I own the entire thing. You do nothing other than receive it. I think that's the sweetest deal of all. Just receive. Most of our problem is we fail to receive the inheritance. It's free for you. I don't know about you, but I'm like, when those things were like, you mean I don't have to, receive, believe you receive and you shall have. Really? Yeah. Just receive. Be it unto you according to your faith. Do you believe it? Do you believe I did it? Yeah. You believe I want you to have it? Yeah. Just start saying that I have it then. Okay, that's simple? Yeah, that's simple. I'm telling you. Now, believe me, I don't do it perfectly, but it really works that way. We are working ourselves more than we should. A lot of it is, yes, our hearts are full with love and so forth, but we need to claim the legal rights of covenant. Let me tell you, there was a Canaanite woman who didn't have a legal right. She had no covenant, and because of her faith, God says, you can have it. I'm going to heal your daughter. So even when people have no covenant, one of the things that God loves is just to believe. He loves faith. And we really should end. We got to end on this one thing. Oh, God, there's too many things. Can I just take an extra 5 minutes? Is that okay? I'm going to go fast, though, but I just want to, for those of you who are keeping up, because we got some runners, I do want to say this, and it is important. Two things before I go. So I'm letting you know that God wants to do things for you on earth. We need to claim what legally belongs to us based on the justice of God, what he did to Jesus, and so forth. I do have to let you know there are, the Bible also says there are some things for which we will be rewarded in heaven. Okay? Matthew 5, verse 11, 12, you can read it. God talks about getting a great reward in heaven. You know, that one is when you bless your enemies. God says, when you do that, you get great reward. You'll get rewarded unheard, but he says, oh, by the way, great reward awaits you in heaven. Great reward, because you did something that was very hard to do. Like, even that. Like, so some of you should be praying, Lord, send me an enemy. No, seriously. We already got some. No, seriously. Okay, an enemy. Who's my enemy? Who's my enemy, Lord? Because everybody's got enemies. Who's my enemy? Let me got to go bless them. Are you an enemy? Have you been talking about me? Just say, let me be nice to you. You look so beautiful today. I'm not talking about becoming friends. Just bless them. What is a blessing? Words. If you don't like the president, bless him. You don't like your boss, bless him. You don't like your wife, bless her. Great reward. I'm being blunt honest with you. I'm telling you what works. I'm trying to give you application. Seriously, you'll be a whole lot happier. Because God will reward you. I don't know about you, but the reward of God is a whole lot better than the reward of man. When you do stuff like that, so when an enemy comes, bless them. But there are rewards that are for heaven. So I do want you to know that, and I have a lot of scriptures here. 1 Peter 2:19, 23 talks about there are times we have temporary trials, difficulties, and we have to commit these things to God. It says, who judges righteously. Oh, we should turn to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, really quick. Because I want you to know that the other side of it, too. So we're to claim the benefits of God's justice on earth, the good things that he does because of what Jesus did for us, okay? But we also need to know there are rewards that await in heaven. We may feel like, okay, Lord, I don't think I got rewarded. Like, how many of you, like right now, we're like, Lord, I think I'm supposed to get a reward for that one, right, that I did 3 years ago. Where is it? Okay, like she's going to make a list of all the things that she feels she should be rewarded. There are rewards that await, that God says that one's coming bigger in heaven. In other words, any reward you don't get immediately is earning interest. Write that down. Ooh, hallelujah. Any reward that you are not getting immediately, like after you did a good thing, bang, is earning interest. So sometimes God says, ooh, good, good, okay? It's earning interest, which means it gets bigger and bigger over time. But I assure you, God is not forgotten, okay? But let's look at 1 Peter 2 just very quickly. We'll look at this one and then one more thing, and then I'll let you go because you need to go so you can come back. And Jesus is our model. So look at this. Verse 19, chapter 2 of 1 Peter. For this is commendable. Now, this is commendable. Listen to this. Commendable. That means it's a good thing to do. God sees it. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Really? That's commendable? For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer? If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. I'm like, yes, this is in the Bible. Read it. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So in other words, when you are doing something, you're doing everything right, and it seems like, Lord, you know, things are not going right. I don't feel like I'm rewarded. As a matter of fact, I think, and there are times I'm telling you, I mean, I can tell you from personal experience. Sometimes I don't tell enough stories. I've been told I need to share about my stories. So you know I'm for real. But there are times I'm like, Lord, I mean, there's a situation, I mean, you do everything. How many of you have been in a situation? You do everything right, and it just seems like you're losing reward, okay? You're not gaining, you're not even standing still. It looks like the enemy is winning. And you're like, God, it looks like you've abandoned me. It doesn't look like your word is true. You feel it. But if you're able to get with one or two people, you can find some scriptures. You see, during times like that, I've learned I got to go to the scriptures. And I don't need to talk to nobody about any sad story. And I don't watch movies of heroes dying at the end. I got to have happy endings. I mean, I got to feed my faith on winning and victory, the word of God, I got to tell myself. And let me just tell you, these are the times when God says, okay, time's up. The rewards are so, and God brings you way over here. And people wonder, how did you get here? Well, it wasn't because you were really good. It's because of that test you passed. When it was hard, you passed certain tests. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I do it right all the time. Believe me, I do not. But we need to be a little bit more tenacious. We need to endure some things. We need to claim benefits when we don't see them coming our way. We don't quit on God. Now, children don't know anything. You got to carry them. But those of us who've been walking with God, it's time to build a little muscle. When things get tough, the tough get going. We do need enduring faith. It's not just, well, it didn't happen. And we love the stories of people claiming something and faith happened and miracle happened instantly. Let me just tell you, it doesn't work like that most of the time. It's enduring. It's saying, no, yes, this is what the word says. It is written. This is it, Lord. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to diligently hang on to that. And I've been telling you, it's that's the way it is. So we're going to end on Luke 18. I'm not going to have you read it. Luke 18, starting with verse 1, Jesus is giving an example about prayer. He says he gave this story so that we would not lose heart in prayer. It's about the widow and the judge. You'll have to read it. Boy, I wish I had time to talk to you about that. An unjust judge refused to bless this widow. That widow persisted. I must have justice. And finally, she wore him down. When you stand in faith for something that you know needs to come to you for justice's sake, remember, you're not trying to convince God. When you're in faith, God sees you. And you know what God does? Boy, I wish I could teach on this, Lord. This is what God does. When you say, Lord, your word says I'm supposed to be blessed here. And these people and this situation doesn't look like it. When you stand in faith with the legal rights that God says, this is what happens. God begins to put pressure on anything that's unjust. You don't have to do nothing but stand before God in faith like that woman. I am coming back. I'm going to hold my position. I'm not letting go of my confession. I'm standing on the word of God. God begins to put pressure on the pharaohs in your life. And before you know it, you might have to endure, might cry, weep. Pharaoh says, let my people go. And God says, can you, as fast as you can, go. He will, I mean, even the hardest, unjust thing in your life will bow the knee to Jesus if you don't quit. And that's what the story is in Luke 18. Jesus says, will I find faith? It's faith that causes the justice of God to happen in your life. When we lose faith and we don't persevere, things continue to happen and we're like, okay, well, I guess it's not God's will. Standing in faith with the justice of God, the legalities of what God says, causes everything in your life to experience pressure. God will make sure that people will change their mind or he'll override people on your behalf. I'm telling you, I've seen it so many times in my life. It looks like, God, this person is against me legally. I mean, that's not going to happen. I can't look at anybody. I'm looking to you, God. I'm looking to you. Your word says that I'm supposed to be blessed in this area. This is unjust. I can't. I've tried. You do everything in the natural. They say no. God finds a way. Pharaoh will let you go. The unjust judge, the only reason he gave her justice because of perseverance. Persevere in your faith before God. You don't have to convince God. You just get to claim with God, this is what your word says. So, Lord, do what you've got to do over here. Okay? I could go on and on. Let's just stand up. The benefit of God's justice, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So we want to claim what belongs to us. And by the way, tonight, I kind of wrote a little sticky because on my calendar, tonight is the Feast of Purim. The Jews everywhere, all over the world, are celebrating the Feast of Purim, P-U-R-I-M. What a wonderful feast. And it really lines up with the workshop tonight because Queen Esther went to the king and got justice because there was an enemy who was going to destroy all the Jewish people, and she dared to go. And she didn't go to him as husband and wife. She went to him as the king on the throne, and he had to extend his scepter, and he was willing to extend his scepter legally to her. So I want you to know you need to go to the throne and be bold about it and not be afraid, because God wants you to be legally justified. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight.